There's so much going on in our nation today, and so much anger and confusion. People think that what's going on has pulled people apart, but I think in a sense it's brought people together. And I think that this book is just a symbol of how real friendship will outlive anything, can handle anything, because that's what friendship is all about.
My name's Johnny Reinhardt, and I've lived in Southwest Michigan most of my life. It's such a wonderful community full of so many great things, but the best part is the people, families, history, and especially the stories that make it great. And with every story, you have to start somewhere. This is Start From the Beginning, Stories from Southwest Michigan. Welcome to episode 10. Yes, we made it to the double digits. And with that, since we made it to the double digits, why not have two guests? And I'm very excited to be talking with Lisa Palenka as well as Lynn Harris. They have been friends for many, many years, and they've actually written a book together, which is really awesome. It's called The Dark Side of Heaven. And so we'll talk about the book as well as what it was like growing up in South Haven together back in the 70s. So we'll talk about that and so much more. But first, let's start from the beginning. I'm very excited. I have two guests today. I have Lisa Palenka and Lynn Harris joining me, and you guys have collaborated on a new book called The Dark Side of Heaven. And I want to talk about this this book, how that all got started. But first, I want to start from the beginning. You guys have been friends for many, many years, right?
Yes, that is true. In fact, we were talking about it yesterday, that perhaps we were in the same kindergarten class that we didn't know remember.
Exactly. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So how many years is that? If I can ask.
A lot. Many.
Wonderful.
Many decades.
This is wonderful. I mean, anybody that writes a book, it's a monumental task to put together and do, and to get to that end point of having a published book. But I want to talk about not only the story of that, but how this all got started. You guys have had this idea of wanting to write a book before, right? Like it's been a number of years. You said, hey, you know what we should do is we should write a book.
Right, Lynn?
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say we were at a class reunion one year. I'm thinking it was a 10-year class reunion.
Okay.
Possibly.
10, 20. But anyway, and we were kind of going over our lives, you know, some of the things that we had been through. So we said, we should write a book. And so we said, yeah, let's write a book. And then it would stop for many years. And then one day we decided to do it.
We had met one time and actually written things down together. Mm-hmm. But that was about 5 years ago or more.
Yeah.
And then when the pandemic hit, it was something to do. And actually, Lynn was working, so I was throwing things on paper and sending them to her to okay. And that it kind of just happened to keep unfolding and finally got done.
Yeah.
That's great. And this is a story that is, what would you call it? Fiction. It's fiction, but almost nonfiction. It's a little bit of both, because even character names, some of the character names have the same names as you guys, but you've also changed some things. So I want to talk about that part. What was it like? You guys grew up in South Haven. You guys have been friends for many, many years. What's the nonfiction story of you guys growing up in South Haven? What was life like in, what was this, the 70s?
70s. Late 60s, early 70s. Yeah.
What was it like for you, you Lisa, growing up in South Haven?
Actually, the story came about because we did live in South Haven, but we lived very separate lives a mile apart.
Yeah.
I went to a different school. For elementary school, I hung in a different neighborhood than Lynn did. We had similar family dynamics with parties and celebrations, but our lives were very different in that we didn't interact much, but we were kind of the same girl. Yeah. Only in two different bodies.
Yeah.
So we wanted to bring about the idea that, you know, even though South Haven was a little on the segregated side, we still had happy childhoods in how we were growing up, Lynn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Lynn, what was it like for you?
Well, personally, I think that the high school was like a melting pot. Mm-hmm. Because everybody came together in high school. I don't care where you lived, you know, what your race was. If you were a teenager in that era, sure, like you went to that high school. So I didn't live in the zone. I lived like right at the edge of the zone. But all of my friends and family were in the zone. So, and the zone is the area, well, some people might refer to it as the hood.
Okay.
but it wasn't hood. South right. Haven wasn't hood. I mean, right. it was a very, very middle class atmosphere all the way around, but there was segregation. Mm-hmm. It was right. hidden, but it was there. Yeah. So, yeah, that's how I grew up, sort of. I don't know, low middle class maybe. I mean, because I mean, my mother always worked. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, always had a decent job, and we always lived in a house. And I never remember living in an apartment as a child. Now, once I became an adult, that was a little different. But as a child, you know, we always had a home. You yeah. know, so yeah. Lisa and I actually, our lockers were side by side in high school. We had two different, you know, groups of peers, but our lockers were side by side, and that's how we bonded at yeah. the locker.
You definitely bond with locker mates. Yeah. Even if you don't cross paths, or even if you're part of two different groups of people,
yeah,
especially if a smaller school, but yeah, when you're neighbors like that,
right.
yeah. It's almost like you're forced to do that and be at least communicate with each other.
Right.
That's how
right.
it started. Yeah.
And, Go ahead.
If I can add also, you know, we were like cheering. Always athletics was big in our town, mm-hmm. and we were always this unified force when we were cheering for our teams, which had a mixture of athletes on them of all shapes and sizes and races. And so I think that was another reason why we felt kind of this unity. Mm-hmm. Our teachers in the 70s were actually hired from the South, and uh-huh. many teachers of color came that way too, because our administrators thought it was important that we had all different types of leadership shown to us. So I thought that was kind of different than a lot of schools then.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that is an important time, and especially for something like that, and for administrators to take that steps to do that and show the different sides of many different cultures to young people, I think is such an important time. So you guys have been talking about the positives of your friendship. Did you guys ever fight and argue, whether about, you know, it's school stuff or just maybe family life? Did you ever argue about that stuff?
With each other?
Yeah.
No.
Wow.
I remember a conversation we had about our brothers. Remember when we were talking about if my brother got in trouble and he would get back in, you know, it was okay to use the belt, you know. So if he got a whooping for something, I would cry harder than him. And Lisa said she was the same way about her brother.
Oh, yeah, that's true. If he ran away, I cried.
Right. Yeah.
There was a real bond. There was a real nuclear family bond. We both had big brothers that we looked up to. We both had big families. My family was Italian. So it was a whole different culture there. And honestly, I think that was the same with us. There was a sameness.
We all had siblings that were in the same grade, I believe. Yeah. My brother and her brother, she and I, my middle sister and
my brother,
her little brother, and my younger sister and
her my sister. Yeah.
We're all, yeah.
So you were destined to be best friends forever, just from the start.
Yeah.
So, well, we do a lot of laughing, that's for sure.
We do.
And that's what's an interesting part about your friendship is, like you said, you guys went to different schools growing up, and then you, when you went to high school, you were together. You ended up being locker mates, which even your last name with that is being locker mates. That's just awesome for that to happen. So let's talk about writing the book. You said this is something you had an idea for a number of years, 5-6 years, where you thought this is a good idea, we should write about this. Why did you think that your story would make a good book?
We really didn't know. Sure. We really didn't know. And we didn't want to do a tell-all.
Okay. Right. So you didn't want it to be a nonfiction. You didn't want to just tell your biography of what happened in your life. You wanted
to. Exactly. Right. We didn't want that. We didn't want that.
And a lot of people ask about characters and, oh, who's this based on? Mm-hmm. And really, they're blended characters for the most part. We kept our mothers the same because the book is in tribute to them and how they guided us through. But there are some real gut punch stories in there that people wonder, whoa, did this really happen to you? And some of them may have been close. Mm-hmm. Or may have been a blend of a feeling. I learned that in the writing part of this, that your feelings can become characters. They aren't necessarily people. And how you're minimized maybe can be made into a story that has characters that aren't really people, but the feeling is there.
Right.
So, what we did was Lynn had some great stories about some things in her life that had happened. And she would send me the stories and I'd kind of either switch them or give them a little more depth or change them up a little bit. But I tried to keep them as authentic as I could. So the feeling bled through. Mm-hmm. That was the most important thing, I think, was to make sure that I honored her stories, especially the ones that were of family and mm-hmm. the past. But when we really got to the twist in the story, there's a twist and it really gets to be like you can't put it down.
Yeah.
We didn't, I can honestly say we didn't murder anybody and we didn't really have, we didn't really get kidnapped. Okay. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay. Wow. That's a hook. Oh man.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. And you know what? My stories are true and I'm blessed with the ability to laugh about some of the dark stuff that actually happened in my life, you know, and I think that Lisa and I could tell the stories and she could put them together. And so it was just a rich, you know, she can put it out there where it's like, you're there. This is happening. And I thought that was, but one thing I'd like to mention when we decided to write this book, like Lisa said, it was right at the beginning of the pandemic. And then mother took sick all just out of nowhere. She got sick and she did pass away. And I remember Lisa saying to me, you know, Lynn, I know you've, you know, got a lot going on. I know this is hard. She said, you go take care of your mom. And when you come back, we're going to write a book. And that's exactly what we did. As soon as I came back and I called her up and we started, right at just as we finished the book, just as we finished the book, the exact same thing happened with her mother. Exact same thing. Just suddenly she got sick and passed away. So we that
both, yeah, it was yeah, tough.
That was powerful. So we dedicated the book to our mothers, who were mm-hmm. both, you know, very, very dear to us, very good women. And I think that kind of really set the fire under, you know, I mean, because Lisa was like, we're going to write this book. And right. I'm like, yeah, I mean, let's do this. And we did it.
And sometimes I'd say to my mother, oh, I don't know, this is getting kind of close. I mean, it's a little edgy. And my mom would say, you write your book, write the book. And so I felt like she was kind of there throughout the process of writing that book. But I also have to say, you know, I was a teacher for 34 years mm-hmm. and I did writing workshops twice a week, but I never would have known how to write a book if I didn't have one of my students, Jeremy Brown, guide us through the process, because it is a process. I didn't realize it would be as involved.
Yeah, and there's a lot going involved, especially if you have another person helping and adding to stories and then also reading it and saying, and especially you two, even though it is partially nonfiction with stuff, that it's one of those that you get to a certain point and you think, okay, we're almost done. And it's like, nope, I want to tweak this and that. Yeah. And that's not how that happened. But that's the thing that's also interesting is when you have people that not only you growing up, but also family members or other friends that you grew up with, they may say, well, what about this story or this story, or that's not how that happened. We didn't do that.
Exactly.
So it gives you a little bit of freedom.
So true. And in fact, my family, I was kind of, I don't want to push stories that, you know, they might not like. So I even took one of my brothers out and made them twins so that people would not say, oh, he did that thing, because with twins, no one would know who. And also, there are people in the book that you have to really make sure they're okay with their characters, because there were some people that, you know, I grew up on the same street with. I wanted to make sure that they didn't feel like they were, I don't know, spoken about in a derogatory sense, because I really tried not to. But it was a very, the time, the town, it's rich. It's so rich in background and it's rich in diversity. You know, there's a lot more to write on that town.
Yeah, it is. And when we talked about the zone, we had to be careful there also, because because people lived there and that was their home, and we did not want anybody to think that, especially for me, that I'm separating myself, you know, oh, I was better than them because I didn't live in the zone. No, that was part of me, you know, even though I didn't live there, that was part of me. And all those people are my family and friends to this day. And that's another beauty of the whole South Haven thing is that we all remain friends. And when I look at my Facebook page, I'm friends with my friends, my sister's friends, my brother's friends. I mean, that's the kind of town it was in.
Right. True. That's true.
Yeah.
Very true. And it was small enough. And it was kind of in this pocket where you never got out of it in the winter because you couldn't. We were snowed in. So everything, it really revolved around the high school. Every activity was at the school. And nobody really went out of town. I mean, you couldn't get out of town. So we had mom and pop grocery stores. We had, you know, snow days. We had people that, you know, gathered on the beach. That was their thing. But it was definitely a time in history that isn't, I don't think it's there in the same fashion now.
I don't think so either. And we also had the South Side Beach and the North Side Beach. It was a whole different thing.
Collection of people.
Yeah.
That's true. Mm-hmm. But now, you know, now, just like in St. Joe, now we have an influx of people coming and buying summer homes.
Sure.
And so many of the neighborhoods are kind of deserted in the winter, where before that's when the town people would come out and take over their town again. Now it's very, I have my house there, and it's very quiet in the winter.
What would you say has been the biggest change over the years in South Haven that, you know, maybe people can take from the book and say, oh, well, that's what that was like back then? What's changed, and what would you say has changed for the better?
I think it's more of a city now. It's more of a city. When we were coming up, it was kind of like a country town.
Yeah.
You know, it's true. More of a city now. You know, it's got a Walmart.
Yeah, true. There are big stores. We didn't even have a McDonald's when we were kids.
Yeah.
There was a Tasty Freeze, but that was it. And I think that the whole mom and pop structures is gone. We had many resorts that were run by Jewish families that went back years that are gone. We had restaurants that were tried and true. Everybody, you know, went to Holly's, or everything is gone.
Yeah.
So
yeah, Fiddleman's Resort. I mean, we went to school with them, but you know, a lot of celebrities actually went to Fiddleman's Resort. I mean, you know, that's rumor, but
they had floor shows, there was entertainment. It's different in that regard, and it doesn't belong to the community as much as it did.
Right.
I would say that.
Okay.
People don't have as much say in what goes on. I mean, there's golf carts and there's you know, farmers market and things that we never saw before.
Yeah.
What are you hoping that people that read the book, whether they're from South Haven or just anybody around that even knows of South Haven, what are you hoping they take from the stories in this book?
There are definitely points in the book that I would hope they would take. And one of them is there are definitely relationships in teenagers that are abusive. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I would hope is if a young girl is being abused physically or mentally in her relationship, that she seeks help. You'll notice in the book there was a guidance counselor and a coach that went to Lisa and said, get out of this relationship. And she ignored them. And many times there's a stigma. You don't want to break up with that first love, but that's important. And the trafficking thing, the way that we have it in the book, the human trafficking thing, it's probably a little Hollywood the way it is in the book, but it does happen. And it's here in Michigan.
Yeah.
And people, you know, when they see greener grass anywhere, girls might tend to go that way. So there are more layers than just Lynn and I in the book. Mm-hmm. I also feel like we emerge as stronger women. We don't depend on men for safety or each other. We did have a police officer that was our pal that helped us through in the book, but he's a blend of three people. But I really just feel like there's other racism besides the black and white issue. I have a little blurb in there about Mexicans and how we had Mexican workers come in and they were treated differently. So it's an honest very honest book about the way kids are shaped and the way they are, they look at things based on what their family and is has put forth before them. Wouldn't you agree, Lynn?
I do. I totally agree. And we definitely had a blend. I mean, there were Black, white, Mexican, Indian. I mean, and everybody got along. I mean, as far as the teenagers. I mean, you know, you had your fights like teenagers do, but for the most part, it wasn't that, oh, you know, she's Black, I can't talk to her, or she's right. Mexican. You know, as far as teenagers, we had a great teenage era. I feel we did. And honestly, like I said, personally, had a lot of stuff going on in my personal life. Yeah. When I was in high school, when I was in school, it all went away. It all right. went away. Yeah.
So. Yeah, and that's the that's the interesting part about South Haven, or just Southwest Michigan as a whole, is that it is a diverse community because of the farming community, the closeness to other cities, and the people coming here from all over to you know, just escape from that either big city or something like that. So you are you have a very melting pot of a community. And that's another part of it, is that back then is that that was not the norm of everybody getting along. People, there was racism, and just a lot of that was going on the national scope. Right. So it's sort of a breath of fresh air that that's what was happening in our areas, that people were actually getting along.
And right along those lines, that this community of Southwest Michigan, it goes back a long, long way. In digging through some of this history that I was doing for the book, I couldn't believe how even before we became a state, there were homesteaders farming of all colors. People were coming from the South. The Black migration that came from the South and went to Chicago and didn't like Chicago and didn't like Detroit might have set up a farm or worked in a smaller town. So manufacturing and factories were taking off. And so it was huge for the people that were here. I my roots go way back. My great-grandma was in Glen, Michigan. I mean, They stayed here. So it's kind of evolved. And I think Lynn and I are products of people that we had grandparents here that love the area. And that's kind of how we were raised with the earth.
That's great. That's true. Great. Do you guys still live in the area, or are you now apart now?
I live in Tennessee.
Okay.
My mother's family originated from Tennessee. My grandparents were born in Pulaski, and then they moved to Nashville. And my mom and all of her siblings, except for one brother, were born here in Nashville. Then they moved to Indiana, and my mom moved to Chicago. But most of them ended up back in South Haven.
I lived in Kalamazoo for 30 years or more, and then moved back when I retired. And so I bought a little house and fixed it up, and I spend my time in St. Joe on the channel in my pontoon, or I'm in South Haven in a dinghy. So,
Lynn, would you say that your friendship is stronger now than it was back when you first became friends?
I would say so, because we have a solid relationship now. We knew each other in high school. I knew Lisa. I knew the things that she did. She knew me, you know, that type of thing. We knew each other, but our friendship bonded after high school.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. And then working together on a book, that is another one that, like you said, Lisa, earlier, how that's it's a monumental task to put together. And so even then, that could be tough and could strain friendships and relationships. But I'm right. glad that it didn't.
No. And we both feel that the timing is perfect.
Yeah.
Because there's so much going on in our nation today and so much anger and confusion. And a lot of people think that what's going on has pulled people apart. But I think in a sense, it's brought people together. And I think that this book is just a symbol of how real friendship will outlive anything, can handle anything, because that's what friendship is all about. You know, it's not always going to be perfect. As far as the two of us know, we've never had any heated arguments. I mean, we don't always agree, but we agree to disagree. So that's what friendship's all about.
I think that's true. And I think we respect each other's opinion enough to listen, to put our two cents in. Mm-hmm. If we have to acquiesce a little bit back, we will. I think the give and take is there, as is in real relationships and friendships. And we don't, you know, get too upset with each other.
No, we don't always agree. And the realistic part of it is that I will never be Italian or right. white. So I will never know exactly her life is about, and vice versa. She will never be a black woman or a black person, and she'll never know my personal struggles the way I do.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Yes. Very but true. We have to overcome things, and we really for me, I know that people won't say it to me because they know I don't care. I mean, if they do, I'm just going to let them know how I feel about it. But you can't live in the past. You don't forget the past, because the past is it happened. It's mm-hmm. in the past, but it's still a part of what right. has happened in your life and in your ancestry. So you never forget that. But you do have to move past that. And you have to set examples for people who look up to you. And you'd be surprised at the people who do look up to you. It's not just your children or nieces and nephews. There are a lot of people that look up to you. So you always have to set that example. And everybody, Lisa and I've had this conversation. Everybody's not going to like this book. Everybody's not going to agree with it. We can't worry about that. It's our book. It's yep. about us. It's about, you know, so everybody's not going to accept it. That's life.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, like you said, that coming from two different cultures, and that is another way that has helped shape your friendship and made it last even longer, is because you have differences, but that is also a learning experience too. You know what right. you have going on in your life, and you know what you have going on in your life,
right.
and you meld those together, and those experiences of not understanding sometimes is also a way of understanding right. each
exactly.
other.
So, exactly.
And we tried to write the book so that you'd see a perspective from Lisa's side.
Yeah.
Kind of the same story on Lynn's side. And you can compare. And yeah. like you said, learning, it's totally a learning thing. Mm-hmm. Food, fun, family gatherings.
Yep.
Way different.
Mm-hmm.
Way different.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
still the loving feelings are there. So it's just a different experience to learn.
Yeah, and when people read this book, they will see us. I think, you know, so you're going to have those haters, because they're going to see us. Yeah, they're sure. going to see Lisa, the same Lisa she was mm-hmm. back then. I'm the same Lynn I was back then. So it is what it is. And I think that's why people are so intrigued, because this book, even though we changed things, we still came out in the book. It's still us.
Well, people see familiarity too. I mean, if yeah. you read something and you say it was the back of the Michigan Theater, Well, everyone's been to the movies in South Haven. They know exactly where you're talking about. Yeah. Or you walk by the armory at night and it's dark. They know what that's like.
They know what it is. Yeah.
So it's kind of, it puts a lot of our classmates and people that were from our area, it puts them, oh, I know where that is. I know exactly what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And then I have friends that didn't grow up there that say, was there really a place like that? Or so it's been kind of cool to have different perspectives coming
in. And it's like a book for everyone. It's a book that people that within the community that you grew up with, even if they aren't a character within the book, they still they feel a part of it because they know and can relate to it.
Yes, definitely.
And the book cover.
Yes. Yeah. Show me the book cover again.
Oh, the book cover.
Yeah. Tell me about the book cover.
My daughter was walking along the beach and took a sunset picture in South Haven, and that became the cover.
Wow.
That's South Haven Beach. That's us.
That's the way it is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's the way we know it. So, lucky for us. I mean, it was idyllic in some regards.
It really was. It really, really was. You know, and my mom knew a long time ago that Chicago was not where she wanted to raise her children. And so, and she may have, because she was young, and she, I'm sure, because I love Chicago.
Right.
But I didn't really
know.
Yeah.
You knew what might happen.
Yeah. You got to have money to really live comfortably in Chicago. And, you know, so South Haven, I'm glad she made that choice. I am so grateful that she made that choice.
And one thing I want to point out is the park districts were huge in our lives. They were run by the South Haven Public Works Department or Recreation Department. And they had park directors and activities. And we played tournaments between parks and basketball and marble games and art fairs. And I really miss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the kids in the town.
And Elkenberg Park, the park director was a neighbor. We went to school with her children. You know, it was family. So it's a very family oriented environment.
Wonderful. Which I think what is previously when you said, is it the same? No, that part is not there anymore either. Yeah.
Well, I look forward to checking out this book, The Dark Side of Heaven. Another part of it, it was published in Michigan as well, right? That it's a Kalamazoo publishing company?
Well, it was published on Amazon. So Jeremy helped us to self-publish this book. So we are the Two Hands Publishing.
Wonderful.
That's Lynn and I. Yep.
Wonderful. Yeah. And we can get it on Amazon and then maybe even some local stores if they want to pick it up as well, they can have it.
Right. And it's in the St. Joe and South Haven Library, too.
Awesome.
So, oh, see, no, I didn't even know that.
Look at that.
I got to get it. Down here. You're doing it, girl.
Well, Lisa and Lynn, I am so glad that many, like you said, Lynn, your mom decided to come to South Haven. I'm glad that your paths have crossed, and I look forward to many, many more years of your wonderful friendship, and I look forward to checking out the book, The Dark Side of Heaven. But I thank you guys so much for taking some time to chat with me today.
Thanks for having us, Johnny. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to Start From the Beginning, Stories from Southwest Michigan. Special thanks to our guests for telling their stories. And if you have a story to tell, I'd love to hear more. Please reach out to me by emailing letstalk@wsjm.com. That's letstalk@wsjm.com. You can listen to this podcast and all the episodes wherever you like to listen to podcasts. And be sure to rate and review on Apple Podcasts. This is a Midwest Family production. I'm Johnny Reinhart. Join me next time for another great story on Start From the Beginning, Stories from Southwest Michigan.